precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel his presence. My soul was hungry. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How oft I cried when far away from you my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now. Oh God, I know I need you. My soul was hungry. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain. My soul was hungry. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the My soul was hungry. My soul was hungry at this day. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, be washed in the blood of the
Washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? That is the question. And I'm glad on November 19th, 2002, I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm glad that the devil can't cross the bloodline, Brother Tim. He can only get to me so far and cannot cross that blood of Jesus. I want to welcome everybody. Good to see you this morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. And I believe fall is upon us. And we've got some cooler temperatures in the area. And, of course, I kind of like the cooler temperatures myself. But anyway, good to be here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. And good to have the Sapp family with us. Popped in on us this morning. Always good to see them. And what a blessing it is always to have them. So appreciate them. And again, it's just good to see each and every person this morning. Well, today, Veterans Day. All right, we want to honor our veterans this morning. And all of our veterans, would you please stand this morning? All who have served the country, our country. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. We appreciate you so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so in honor of Veterans Day, we have our flag down front this morning. And I do want to mention some things before we pray this morning. Attention to all the ladies. On Thursday will be the ladies' prayer brunch in the fellowship hall at 11 a.m. And they're going to work on the Operation Christmas Child boxes. And so something we're doing this year, hadn't done it in a while. I think we've done it since I've been here. But it's contagious, it looks like. Everybody's getting excited about it. And it's an opportunity to put a gospel track in there, put a Bible in there, toys, clothes, whatever can fit in there, and ship out across the world for some child to receive the gospel and receive a gift. And so what a blessing that is. We're so thankful and proud to be part of that this year. And so just remember that, ladies, on Thursday in the fellowship hall, 11 o'clock a.m., and a ladies' prayer brunch. So just remember that. Also, save the date. Our CBC Thanksgiving dinner is going to be on Sunday night, the 24th, at 5 o'clock. And we have a sign-up sheet over here to my right and your left. If you would just be so kind to bring a dish of some kind and just fill it out on the paper. We do that so that we won't end up with 20 bowls of green beans. You know what I'm saying? And unless you're really a big green bean lover. Anyway, all right. So a lot going on, and I praise the Lord for the results of the election. Amen. Now is time for the church to do its job. Amen. Amen. God is setting things up. Who knows the mind of the Lord? I pray for a revival in these last days. I pray that many come to the Lord. We know that things ultimately are going to get worse and worse. And then, according to Scripture, as this falling away is taking place of many believers, that before the Antichrist is revealed, the rapture will take place. I describe it like this. I've said this several times in the past couple weeks, that we have the falling away now. We're living in the Laodicean church age, I believe. The last church mentioned in Revelation 3. Chapter number 4, John heard the instructions, come up hither, a voice as it were as a trumpet saying, come up hither. We believe that's the rapture. But we have the falling away now. Right here we have the revelation of the Antichrist. We won't be here when he's revealed. But in the space of time from the falling away of people of faith and then the revelation of the Antichrist, it's almost like two brick wall buildings close together. You can't even squeeze in between it, if that makes sense. Jesus is coming back soon, church. He is coming back soon. And let us be found faithful when he comes back. But praise the Lord. Let's pray for our president. And the turnover of power is coming up soon. And Trump is electing all of his people to serve with him. And it's very exciting, very exciting. And so just remember that. We praise the Lord for that. And just remember, everybody, on our prayer list, those who have had surgery, such as Miss Diane Ely, she's at home. And she had a couple phases of one back surgery, but she's at home. Praise the Lord for that. And Brother Jim Jr. is going to have surgery coming up soon, and he's going to let us know of that. So thank God for that. And, of course, please continue to remember our daughter Lily on December 4th is going to be having back surgery at Children's Health Care of Atlanta Scottish Rite. So we appreciate your prayers and all that. All right. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen. All right. Well, the Lord has something good for us this morning. So happy to see you here. Those visiting, those coming our way, so good to see you as well. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning for all things, God, for all things. Father, what else are we going to do but praise you? Lord, I pray today that our minds would be fixed on thee. You say you'll keep us in perfect peace, if our minds are fixed on Thee, because we trust in You. Lord, I pray for these who have had surgery. We thank You that they are at home and they're recovering, getting back to life. I pray for our daughter, Lord, that's getting ready to have surgery. God, that You would let this be the best back surgery Dr. DeVito has ever performed. And Father, for Brother Jim, that's getting ready to have surgery. And Lord, those that are even here in body, but mentally they're struggling. No doubt there are some this morning that the devil has already got on their shoulder and told them there's no hope for You. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that You would loosen those chains, Lord. I pray that You would crush those thoughts. And Father, You would put a gird up the loins of our minds, Lord. Put a guard around all of our minds this morning as we try to center our attention and focus upon You, God. Bless the singing, bless the preaching, save the lost, bless the saved is my prayer. God, we're only here for 1 hour. And Jesus, like when You were in the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter, James, and John fell asleep, You asked them, what could You not watch and pray for 1 hour? 1 hour. Lord, we don't want to miss what You got in this hour. We love You. We thank You. Thank You for our veterans. Lord, I pray that You would bless them. Many veterans have stress and the after effects of war and serving on foreign fields. We pray for that as well, the post-traumatic stress, Lord, that You would be with them. We love You today, God. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Amen, church. If you'll stand with me, choir, stand with me. Turn over to page 139. And while you turn over to 139, I want you to sing this with me. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my
says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Page 139, let's sing at Calvary. Everyone sing now. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. There was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On the last now, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated, church. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. I hope everyone had a great, great Bible study class this morning. Amen. And if you're not going to Sunday school, to Bible study at 10 o'clock, you're missing out on a blessing. Come, there is a class for every age, and we get in there and we try our best to teach the Word of God. And I believe that there's a blessing to be had if you'd be here at 10 o'clock for Bible study. Amen. If you want to get here just a little bit early, about 9:30, we're looking for some members in the choir. And we have choir practice every Sunday morning at 9:30, many Sunday afternoons, and we'll talk about that. You come be a part of the choir. We'd love to have you. Amen. And we'll just leave that with you this morning. Please remember all the prayer requests that have been given. Some are even unspoken. And we pray the Lord would be with each one of those veterans. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you have given for our country. It doesn't go unnoticed this morning. We thank you for it and praise the Lord for you and for you being able to serve this great country that God has blessed us with. Amen. We'll have another song here in a few moments. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service. Pray for Pastor this morning. Pray for the offering, both the gift and the giver. Brother Ceylon, would you take us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer? As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. And I know I'll see. see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Believe the Lord is faithful this morning, say amen. I've said before and I'll say it again, there are times where we don't always agree with His plan, but at the end of the day, He's the master of the plan, and He knows what He's doing. And so I appreciate the Lord this morning, appreciate you. Nice crowd this morning. It's always encouraging. Looking forward to preaching this morning. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles, follow along on the screen, turn on your electronic device. However you would like to follow along with us in God's Word this morning, to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. And we're going to read one verse, verse number 21. Then we are going to bring a brief introduction. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Oh, Lord, you are faithful and you are true, Lord. We love you this morning. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. And I pray this morning, God, that you would touch me. God, you have burned something in my heart to share for this particular service. Something totally different tonight. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you would communicate the truth, the Word of God, to the hearts of your people. Father, we just ask that you would do a mighty work. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that you would draw them with cords of love, and that they would be convicted of the reality of spending eternity apart. apart from you in a place called hell and accept Jesus as their Savior to go to heaven. And Father, for the believer that's already saved, I pray that you would encourage them, challenge them, and maybe even the one that's following from afar. I pray, Lord, that you would bring them back to the cross this morning. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Philippians chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, verse number 21. Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's our verse this morning. I want to say by way of introduction that every one of us has a purpose for living. Every one of us. Now, the homeless man this morning in the slums of the city is living his life. And the homeless man, he chooses to wake up each day and drink all the alcohol he can. Not all homeless people, but some. And he goes to sleep and he wakes up the next day, and that's his purpose. That's his goal that day, is to find some money to go to the liquor store. Don't turn there, but in Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 35, this is what the Bible says about alcohol and the alcoholic. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Folks, that's the power of addiction. Addiction is terrible. Addiction is a powerful thing. And for some, that's their daily purpose and plan, is to drink away their problems. Heard a story one time of a man who had one goal in life, and that was he was going to marry a rich young lady so that he would not have to work. This was his purpose for living each day. Every day he did everything he could to accomplish that one goal. He finally got engaged to a rich girl, and she discovered he was after her money. She said to him, "The only reason you married me was because my daddy left me a lot of money." He said, "That's not true. I didn't care who left you the money." Huh? Goal, purpose. Marry a rich young lady. I want to say this morning, if you get to know someone well enough, you won't take long, or it won't take long, until you begin to understand what makes them tick. If you're around somebody long enough and get to know them well enough, you will begin to realize what they love and what their main focus is in life. You'll discover what their purpose for living each day is. This morning, every one of us has a purpose for living. My question to you is this: what is your purpose in life? Listen, I'm not going to be on a rant. I'm not going to be on a tangent this morning. I'm not going to just preach a message and go to the house and say I preached this morning. I have a message this morning. And it's not just another message on purpose. It is a challenge to all of us. And so today I want to look at some of the purposes people live for each day. Then I want to show you from God's Word what our purpose for living life should be. So this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this subject: the real purpose for living life. The real purpose for living life. Number one, some people live for pleasure. Did you know that? Some people live as a pleasure seeker. These people wake up each day seeking pleasure wherever they can find it. Our society has been deemed as a hedonistic society. What does that word hedonistic mean? The word hedonistic means a way of life devoted to pleasure. That's the day and time in which we live, church. We're living in a generation where it's all about what makes me feel good, no matter who it hurts. In the Bible, in 2 Timothy, don't turn there, chapter 3, verse 4. I'm moving quick. There's characteristics of people in the last days, and we are living in those days. Listen. 2 Timothy 3, 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're living in a generation where a friend will turn their back on you just like that. We're living in a generation in a time and day where a brother will turn a back on a brother. A sister turn a back on a sister. Mom and kids and moms and dads and families. There's this element, there's this characteristic of being a traitor. Heady, high-minded, egotistical generation. Narcissistic people who care nothing about anyone else but them and themselves. Never seen anything like it in my day. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This morning, some people live for pleasure. Let me say this. Many of our young people have been brainwashed. Now, y'all hold on, young people. I'm not mad at you, but I want to preach to you. Many of our young people have been brainwashed in believing that every waking moment should be spent seeking pleasure. Pleasure seekers. Not all young people, but a lot of them, they spend their lives seeking pleasure among friends. They spend their lives seeking pleasure watching TV and playing video games, listening to music and thumbing through their phone every second of every living moment of every single day. Our young people, many of our young people are pleasure seekers. I want to tell you this, if you were to put them in a room with no friends, no TV, no video games, no music, no cell phone, they would go crazy. And I know some adults this morning, if they weren't around their friends or watching TV, listening to music, no cell phones, put them in a room by themselves, they wouldn't know what to do. They would go crazy. Go crazy. Young people and older people, much of people of today, their every waking minute has to do with a big old fun time. I want to tell you, church, life is not all about fun. Life is not, somebody said, well, they're just sowing their wild oats and they'll be okay. They'll come back to the Lord one day. That's not always true. You walk through the cemetery and you'll see tombstones, people who have died at a young age, alcohol, drugs, pressure, being bullied, suicide, all of those things. It ain't about sowing wild oats. It's about knowing your purpose. It's about following God. It's about knowing what He wants for your life. It's about standing out. It's about being a voice in our generation. I wonder if there's a young person here this morning that will stand up and say, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to be like those other young people. I'm not going to be always on social media. I'm not going to be a gossiper. I'm not going to be a hater. I'm going to be a lover of God and a lover of men. Amen this morning, church. Are you with me? We need to rescue our young people. I hope you understand that the devil has got his scope. Now, y'all better watch out. I got boots on this morning. I bought these at the academy after I studied yesterday. How about that? Feel good. Boom. Start that Harley up. Listen, the devil has a scope on your kids when they're little. And when they're young, they'll follow you. You could talk them out of stuff. Oh, there's no boogeyman. You know, you're going to be okay. Okay, Dada. I love you, Dada. They get older and they start to develop mentally. And they begin to realize they're on planet Earth. And there's a real adversary. And everybody at school isn't nice. And a lot of people that say they're their friends aren't really their friends. And the devil begins to close that scope on your child and puts thoughts in their mind. And at the right time, pow! You wake up in the morning. You're like, what's wrong, honey? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Our kids wake up each day with challenges like us adults do. And some of our kids wake up each day going to school, being bullied, being cussed at, being mistreated. And I want to say, if you're a bully this morning and you're in this house of God, if you're watching on TV, Facebook, if you are a bully, shame on you, bully. I pray that God will deal with you and convict you and bring you to a place of repentance, because many of our young people are being bullied today. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. I hate bullying. I was bullied in school. And let me say this. You say you're a Christian and you're bullying somebody at school, you ain't no Christian. Take it to the bank. You are a hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is, don't you? Someone who puts on a mask. Oh, we got them in our churches today. We have hypocrites singing in the choir. We've got hypocrites sitting in the pews. We've got hypocrites preaching. I know everybody is, but there's something about being genuine. There's something about being real. And if you name yourself a child of God, bless God, you ought to imitate God. Amen. Preach. We need some preachers with backbones in our days. That opens their mouth saying, thus saith the word of God, that will shake the rafters. I'm sick and tired of being quiet about so many subjects. It's time that somebody takes our young people by the hand and leads them to the promised land. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy. I want to say, these are pleasure seekers. This is true for most people. Or a lot of people, not just young. The question is, what's wrong with that, Brother Justin, seeking pleasure? I'll say this, life is not meant to be taken as a big party. Life is a mixture of things. The book of Ecclesiastes, don't turn there, chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. It points out that in a balanced life, there is a mixture of things and a time for many things. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Listen, Solomon, being the writer, Solomon is telling us that this particular chapter, chapter 3, in that chapter, he's telling us that life consists more than just pleasure. There's death in life. There's weeping in life. There's rending of the garments in life. There's hating in life. There's war in life. But also, there's birth in life. There's laughing in life. There's sewing of the garments in life. There's loving in life. There's peace in life. Life isn't just one big party, young person, middle-aged or old person. Life is a mixture of ups and downs. Let's don't be so hard on one another when you see a friend struggling. Amen? Life is a mixture. A balanced life experiences both. You're going through a hard time right now, young person. You're going through a hard time right now, person in general. It's life. Life happens.
Life sometimes hurts. That's why the Bible talks about there is a time to rend your garments, but then there's a time to sew your garments. I'm glad that there are those times of mourning and grief and sadness where, oh my gosh, oh my Lord, we don't know what to do. But praise the Lord, there are times where the Lord sews us up with His sweet Holy Spirit, and He is patching things up, and He is moving us toward our purpose in life. Thank God for the mixture of life. You see, listen to me. If people are always seeking pleasure, when are they going to have time, number one, to talk to God? If a person is always seeking pleasure, when are they going to have time to listen for God to talk to them? When are they going to have time to meditate on the things of God? When are they going to have time to think seriously about life's problems? When are they going to have time, if they're only a pleasure seeker, to plan their future, enjoy their families while they still have them? When are you going to do those things, young person? When are you going to do those things, older person? Because if you're a pleasure seeker, your days are wasting away. Opportunity is leaving you behind. Number one, if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that opportunity is slipping by you. Today may be the last day you're alive. Won't you trust Jesus as your Savior if you're not saved? Do it! Now, a hedonistic society was the downfall of Noah's generation, wasn't it? Listen to this. Matthew 24, 38, 39, the Bible says this, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark." Verse 39, "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Noah's generation was having a joyous time. Celebrating, listen to the music. Huh? Hey, you could take the brother out of the hood, but it's hard to take the hood out of the brother. Amen. They were living it up like they're living it up today. A joyous time. A time of giving in marriage. And verse 39 says, "Knew not until the flood came and took them all away." Something else in verse number 37, the Bible says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." That last phrase in verse number 39 says, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Listen, church, the Lord said before He returns for His church, society will be hedonistic. Society will be like it was in Noah's day. That's how today is. But peradventure, today is even worse. I want to say it, and I don't care. I don't see how in the world a pastor could stand up in a church and say, "I'm a Democrat." I don't see how churches and pastors endorse Kamala Harris. I don't care who hears it. Man. I'm a Trump man. Somebody, Bro Stevon said the other day, he said, "I heard something somebody said. Said, when you're voting, you're not voting on a pastor. But between the two candidates, I side with Trump because of what he stands for. And because of his characteristics and who he is as a person." Someone in Walmart was walking the other day, had a shirt on, and said, "I'm voting for the felon." That wasn't too good to wear, but whatever. Listen, our world is filled with pleasure seekers, with people who have no backbones, with people who are afraid to stand up, be counted for Christ. Be ye different. Be separate from the world is what we ought to be. Amen. I'm an unashamed Christian Republican. Bless God.
But I do want to say this about politics. That's not a Christian's primary fight to be in. Amen. The gospel is our primary warfare. The gospel. All right? The age we live in is a pleasure-seeking age. Many wake up each day for one purpose, and that is to seek pleasure. If it does not feel good, they don't want anything to do with it. Let me move on to point number two. Not only some people live for pleasure, but number two, some people live for popularity. Why do a lot of, I'm going to start with the young people. Why do a lot of young people have to have the name brand clothes? Getting hot here. Why? What's wrong with going to Walmart? What's wrong with going to Walmart, young people? Why do a lot of young people have to have the name brand clothes? And older people, for that matter. Why do a lot of young people have to have the latest and greatest cell phones and gadgets? Why? Why do you have to have it? That's the question. What about this one? Why do people feel the need to put out all these reels and TikToks? I don't hear nothing. TikTok, TikTok. I hear the clock. TikTok. Why? Why is there the need? Oh, guess what? I got 500 likes on my reel. I got 500 whatever it is on TikTok. Why? 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 Why do young people feel like they have to do this? Why do young people feel they got to have the latest and greatest cell phones and gadgets, name brand clothes? I'll tell you why. Because it is a stride for popularity. They're afraid to be different. They want to be popular. Church, whatever happened to individuality? Whatever happened to God created you specifically? Whatever happened to that being different? Whatever happened to individuality? In our society, many live their lives with wrong purposes, and all we have is a bunch of carbon copies. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about social media and TikToks and reels. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about this one said that and this one put out a message. I think they're referring to me, but you know, they would never say it to my face. Aren't you tired of that? Young people, you have no idea what us parents are putting up with and challenged with. Guess what? There's coming a day when you're going to have kids. And when you have kids, you'll know the fight that we're in now. My mama said that to me. I said, you're not telling the truth. Guess what? She's telling the truth. She's telling the truth. And I'm not saying that Lily's terrible. No, she's a young person in 2024 trying to live out her Christianity. It's a challenge for all young people. Let me say this. Some people live for popularity. When someone says, I can't believe it. You're different, you ought to say, praise God. Praise God I'm different. Someone says, you're not like everyone else, you ought to say, thank God. Thank God I'm not like everybody else. Because I don't want to look worldly. I don't want to look silly. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look like I'm a Muppet baby. Why in the world would you want to be corrupt like everybody else? Sin will take you further than you are willing to go. It'll keep you longer than you're willing to stay. It'll make you pay more than you're willing to pay. How much pain does it got to take for you to get right with God, young person? Whatever happened to individuality? God doesn't want you being like everybody else. God created us as individuals for a very special reason. I want to say this morning to every young person, you are beautiful inside and out the way you are. You are gifted, young person, in your own special way. Let us never take bragging rights over our gifts, because we didn't give it to us. God did.
We ought to use our gifts humbly before the Lord and be thankful that He would even use us. Young person, if you need a change, change. But if you haven't changed and went the way of the world, don't change. Be different. Be who you are. Be who you are. Let me say this. Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel built a statue that everyone was to bow down before at the what? The sound of the music. I have an idea of what kind of music it was, Brother Stephen. Probably rap music. Yeah, probably rap music. Probably a little Young Thug. And by the way, one of those Young Thug rappers just got released back into our community. The judge, I can't say too much about the judge. I don't want to mess up and hear, she hear me, I go to jail. But she is crazy for letting a murderer go. A leader of the slime gang. He is responsible for drive-by shootings. He's responsible for innocent people getting murdered, gang-related activity getting in a gang. In his, prosecutor read some of his lyrics in court the other day. He was standing up. I read, I hate the judge, I will shoot her dead. I hate the world. That's what I said. I love smoking pot and getting high and laying with girls. That is my purpose in life. I am Young Thug or whatever it is. Oh, man, that's beautiful, isn't it? Oh, I want to be just like Young Thug. Oh, I got to get my gold chain. Oh, yeah. I want to dabble a little bit. I want to get my gold chain. I want to get my gold teeth. I want to wear my pants down around my bottom. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to treat girls like garbage. I'm going to impregnate girls and then leave them and let them grow up without a baby's daddy. That's what these Young Thugs are all about. Preach, brother Justin, preach. That's what this world's about. Be different. You find God's man. You find a woman of God, young person, you follow them and follow them. They're not crazy. They're not old fogies. They're not trying to be super spiritual. They've just lived a little and they know a lot. So we have a purpose in life. We have people in life who feel like their purpose. I mean, listen, they just want to be popular. Nebuchadnezzar, he built this. Statue, the music went off. But when everyone was doing what the next fellow beside them was doing, listen to me, there were three standing tall. And I love their names. I was thinking about this yesterday. Shadrach, man, that's a cool name. What's up, Shad? Meshach, what's up, Shaq? Abednego. What's up, Abednego? What's up, Abend? They were standing tall, church. They were standing tall. We used to sing a song at our youth meetings at Floyd Road, Smoke of the Battle. It's been a long, hard battle. It's been all we could fight. Standing up for Jesus and standing for what is right. Oh, Satan, he's a loser. He knows he's going to fall. When the smoke of the battle clears away, we'll all be standing tall. I like to rub that in Satan's face. And that's one reason why I want these boots so bad. I told several people on the way into church this morning, I'm crushing snakes today. I'm crushing the devil. Wait a minute. Jesus has already done that. Let me move on. When you follow the crowd, you have to remember the road to destruction is open wide and its gate is wide. Many are experiencing a life of destruction. There's not a lot of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that will resist bowing to what the world offers and be persecuted. You know what? That makes me think of something. Thank you, Lord. That's the reason why a lot of Christians are being bullied. That's the reason why they're not bowing. They're not bowing to the garbage. And because of that, they're in the fire of their life. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But praise the Lord, there's a fourth man in the fire with a young person. Jesus is with you. He's walking with you. He's talking with you. You think you're going to be burned up, but by the time that they were let out of the fire, they didn't even have smoke. The smell of smoke on their clothes. Young person, you're going to be all right. You know where Jesus is at this morning? He's in the fire. He's in the fire. Don't go with the crowd. Let God use you. Listen, the desire to be popular can lead to spiritual poverty. Instead of living our lives according to what's trending or popularly demanding, let us live according to the truth of God's Word. Y'all still with me this morning? Listen to what the Bible says. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Good so far. The Lord will give grace and glory. Even better. But here's the kicker. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright. Young person, you think you're missing out on life because you're a Christian? The Bible declares He will not withhold any good thing from you while you walk uprightly in Him. Listen, you only want the good things from the hand of God. This world deems other things good. You know, being a millionaire is good. You know, having top fashion is good. New car is good. New house is good. All those things are good. All those things also can sink you in debt. The Bible says if you follow God, He will not withhold any good thing from you. And while I'm here, the last time I checked, when we're on the subject of boyfriends and girlfriends and companions and future marriages, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You don't want to marry, and I'll say it, you don't want to marry garbage. Because that's what sin is. It is garbage. I'm not attacking a person. I'm attacking a person's lifestyle. You don't want to marry garbage. Listen, you want a good boyfriend? Follow God. You want a good girlfriend? Follow God. You want a good future companion, spouse, in marriage? Follow God. God will not withhold that from you. You are trying to get it yourself. That's why you're in so much pain. Wait on God, young person. Young lady, God. Let me say this. Young lady, God wants you to have a prince. All young ladies, you are princesses, okay? God wants you to have a prince. Why in our world the young ladies fall for these thugs? And why are our good men falling for these? Dion says no. I'm on a tangent this morning. I'm just going to back up. I ain't going to say it. I was outside the pulpit, though. Lord, it's taking me a lot not to say it. It's not God's will, or I would have said by now. Moving on. Why are our young men getting messed up with these girls that are bad for them, and these girls are getting messed up with these boys that are bad for them? What's wrong with being an independent person? Planning for your future, doing what's right, receiving nothing but good from the hand of God. What's wrong with that, young person? So many people are living their lives. They think their purpose is popularity. Let me hurry. Number three. Not only some people live for popularity, but some people live for pride. Live for pride. Now, I'm not talking about gays and lesbians here. I'm not talking about that. But pride is the reason for all sin. Some are driven by impressions. Did you know that? They want to make an impression on people. They have an idea of how they want to be perceived. And so they're one way at church, and they're another way at home. They're one way at school, they're another way at home. They're one way at the workplace, they're another way here. They want to make impressions. They're driven by pride. Gives them an ego boost when they pick on somebody. It gives them an ego boost when somebody's done them wrong and they make them pay for it. It boosts their ego by being mean and unkind. Shame on you. Some drive cars they can't really afford. This is an ego boost. Some live in homes they can't really afford. It's all about impressing people. Some wear clothes they can't really afford. It's all about impressing people. Some people in life, they feel like their purpose is to impress. Why don't you try impressing Jesus? He's the eternal one. They want to be the big shot. Listen to this.
Oh my God, I'm trying not to laugh.
They want to be the big shot. They want to make impressions. They walk around with their nose so high in the air. They walk around with their nose so high in the air, it's a miracle they don't drown when it rains. How y'all doing? It's a miracle they don't drown when it rains. Impressions, ego, big shot. There ain't no big shots and little shots. Truth be known, we all deserve to be shot. Amen. Pride is motivation for a lot of people. Listen, I will have you turn another place. Turn to Isaiah 14:12. Give your fingers a little bit of exercise this morning. Isaiah 14:12. Lucifer, the devil, was driven by pride. The girls have been learning this, the high schoolers in Bible class past couple weeks, about pride. How art thou fallen? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Look at verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Lucifer, the devil, was driven by pride. We don't have time to get into all that. Think about the Garden of Eden. Oh, the devil says to Eve, hath God said? Yeah, God said. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. There's many a tree to eat from. Do not eat from that one in the middle. Pride. Ego. Empowerment. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. How about that? The devil was lifted up in pride, then he fell. Many people today are living a life of destruction because of pride. Many people have fallen and are broken today, all because of their pride, ego, and feelings of entitlement. You see, the Bible declares, and listen to this, church. We're going to be through in a minute. The Bible declares, if you want to be first, you've got to be last. Mark 9:35. The Bible also declares, if you want to save your life, you must first lose it. For Christ's sake, of course. Luke 9:24. Brother Stephen, why has this generation got that so backwards? Everybody wants to be first. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to pay the price. Everybody feels entitled. I need this. I want this. I want that. Why? Okay, you've done it your way. Let's try it God's way now. Instead of putting yourself first, put yourself last. Why don't you seek somebody out that could use a friend and love on them? And you watch the joy that will spring in your heart.
You know what the definition of joy is, don't you? The J stands for Jesus first. The O, others. The Y, yourselves last. And if you live life that way, you will have joy, I promise you. But we're living in a world where there's people who feel like, you know, their purpose is popularity. Okay? People feel like their purpose is pride. They're driven by pride. There's those people who live according to pleasure. But then the last one, and I'm done. Some people, praise the Lord, live for Christ. Philippians 1:21 again. Listen what Paul says. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul says, I'm a winner either way. He says, if I'm living this life, I'm going to live for Christ, who has a purpose for me, who saved me, who called me, who provides for me, who supplies everything that I need, who has, you know, purpose for things in life. It makes, I serve a God who's providential, works all things together for good. He says, for me to live, it's going to be Christ. And if I die, it's just gain. So the Apostle Paul had a purpose every day he woke up, and that was to look for ways to serve the Lord. Don't turn there, but Romans 14:8 says this, "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." This morning we need to recognize that God placed us here for a purpose. And we need to be determined to fulfill that purpose that He has for us each and every day. Brother Justin, how do we do that? How are we to be determined to fulfill His purpose each and every day? I want to tell you this, and we'll bring it to a close. How do we do it? One day at a time. Number one, we need to recognize that God placed us here for a purpose, be determined to fulfill that purpose each and every day. We do that by taking it one day at a time. But number one, make sure you're saved. If you died today, would heaven be your home? Where, I asked the kids Wednesday morning in chapel at Grace, where are you going to be 100 years from now? Because you're going to die. Where are you going to be at? Make sure you're saved. Become one of His. Listen, regardless of what the world thinks, we're not all children of God. Everybody in this world is a creation of God. But not everybody is a child of God. You have to come before Him with faith and repentance. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I love verse number 10. We back up. "For it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made salvation." Let me hurry. Make sure you're saved to go after God. Number two, if you're saved, God will open doors for you to serve Him each day. So serve God each day. But number three, when God opens a door, listen to this, be determined to step through and serve, come what may. I have to read you this because you know, honestly, these verses have been near and dear to my heart lately in my family. Acts 20, verse 22, listen to this. "And now, behold," Paul speaking, "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me." Verse number 24, Paul says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul says, the Holy Spirit is leading me somewhere. I'm just not sure how it's going to go. But he says, whatever happens, Brother Ceylon, wherever God's leading, I shall not be moved. Remember the old song, "I shall not be moved"? like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Don't let a person, place, or thing remove you from your steadfastness in Jesus. He will hold your hand and guide you to the next step of your life. In conclusion, all of humanity has one primary purpose in life, and that is to know their Creator, walk in His purpose, and worship Him. Our purpose in life should be to attain Christ-likeness. Listen to this, and I promise I'm done. Back in Philippians, I'll just give it to you quickly. Philippians 3. Paul said this, verse 13, chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know it's impossible to drive a car looking in the rear view. You can't drive a car looking in the rear view. You can't move forward looking in the rear view. God wants you to move forward in His, in your walk with Him, but you got to quit looking in the rear view. You got to quit looking in the rear view. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is a stretch. This is a cross. This is the crucible. This is what we're called to do. Trust Him. Move forward in faith, not staring in life's rear view. That's the message this morning. Just wanted to share some things with you on the subject of the real purpose for living life. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. I pray that You'll give liberty to Your invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come, please come on the first verse. Please come. We're all here. Someone will meet you in the altar to pray. Are you living your purpose this morning?
I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come.
It's okay to come pray for you. Hey, we'll stand by your side. We'll stick with you.
I come.
Somebody messing with you, young person, come to me. Come to me. I'll defend you. And we'll do it the right way.
Just as I am and waiting.
These are here. Maybe there's others. Do you know you're saved this morning? Don't leave lost. You think you have purpose now? Think about a purpose the Creator of this world universe can give you. The responsibilities of a Christian are greater than the job of a president, because we are carriers of the gospel. Still singing. These are praying. Let's do our best not to leave anybody in the altar alone. It's not a good feeling praying by yourself.
I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pour, and cleanse, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Say
we do have one still praying. We'll be conscious of that, but thank you so much for coming this morning. 5 o'clock service tonight. Looking forward to tonight's service. We're going to be in the book of Ezra tonight, so bring out some things out of there.
Do we have anything, brother, today?
Nothing today.
Go home and just think about the service this morning. And relax and get ready for tonight. If you can come tonight, that'll be great. If not, God bless you. So good seeing you this morning. All right. All hearts clear before we go? All right. I didn't hear clear.
Clear.
Okay. Thank you, brother. We're trying to take off here. No flight can take off without saying clear. All right. Thank you for being here this morning. And be a blessing to somebody. Be a fountain, not a drain. How about that? All right, consider yourself dismissed. God bless you.